You know, I'm here in Washington. Well, I'll explain in a minute. I'm here because I don't know how many more of these we're going to have. Who knows?
Hopefully zero.
Let me tell you about our sponsor this half. Let me tell you about our sponsor this half hour. It is American Financing. Whether you're buying your first, your next, or your forever home, American Financing will help you get the right mortgage for your investment. This is going to be critically important. Interest rates are now low. They may go lower eventually, and probably sooner rather than later, they're going to go a lot higher. And I think when we have the next recession, you're going to see a real difficulty in getting loans. American Finance is there for you right now. These are the people I trust. It's AmericanFinancing.net, AmericanFinancing.net, or call 866-750-6551, AmericanFinancing.net, America's Home Loans, and America's Home for Home Loans. AmericanFinancing.net. Radio program begins in just a second.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Today is a kind of a special anniversary. I am from our studios in Washington, D.C., where tonight the State of the Union happens. I'm actually going to be in attendance, and I'll tell you why. Because today is a very special anniversary. Today, the Fight Club in Congress happened in the 1850s. And it involved the swinging of the ceremonial mace and the ripping off of toupees. It's the greatest story in American history when it comes to slimy politicians. We begin there in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
All right, let me tell you about our sponsor before we get started. It is FilterBuy. And FilterBuy, I could have used it last night because I'm traveling with Rafe. And let's just say that a teenage boy sharing the bedroom with a teenage boy is not always the best for your health. I think I almost had my lungs burned out last night. Not to say.
What happened exactly here?
Well, he's got an issue with... We had a gas explosion last night at the hotel. Let's just put it that way. Okay. So FilterBuy is the place to go if you need to replace your filters in your HVAC. And my apologies to the hotel. I think we have to send them a package of filters because... Anyway, FilterBuy.com. FilterBuy.com. Go there now. They'll give you auto delivery. You'll save 5% off your order. This is the way to change your filters. You never have to think about it because they arrive when they're supposed to be changed. You never have to think, oh, I got to go to the Home Depot and get my filters. No, you don't. They're all made here in America. They ship free within 24 hours of your order. Also, please do get on the automatic renewal thing so they just send to you, because you're going to save 5% if you do that. Anyway, go to filterbuy.com. 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 It was late on February 5th, and Congress was in session. They were working on the Kansas Territory pro-slavery constitution, and things were heating up. Now, remember, just a few years ago, there had already been a beatdown in the Senate when a senator stood up and said, "The South is sleeping with a harlot. They are sleeping with the whore of slavery." Well, that upset a congressman who heard about that. Somebody was saying this about the South. How dare you, sir, say these things about the glory of the South? And so he crossed chambers and came in, and he beat the man almost to death. Okay? It was quite a show. Nobody stopped him. He took his cane and he beat him in the head until he was almost dead. The only thing that saved him was that little Jimmy Stewart senator desk that they all sit behind, and he crawled underneath it, and it couldn't be moved, and that was stopping the blows to the head. He was out for about 3 years and never really truly recovered, but he had to go out convalesce for about 3 years. What's amazing about this story is no one in the Senate asked for the perpetrator to be arrested. And in fact, the Democrats took pieces of that cane and they made little teeny canes out of the wood and some out of silver. And they put them on chains that they wore around their neck that basically said, you come after the South, you come after slavery, and we'll beat you to death. They were proud of it. All right, so 4 years later, they're in session, and now they're talking about slavery again. And the South and the Southern Democrats were pushing slavery onto Kansas, and things started to boil over. More than 30 members started joining in on what became a melee. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning, and they started insulting each other. And then somebody threw a punch at one, and then the other threw it back, and it became this melee. And this is my favorite. First of all, the sergeant of arms, you know, the guy who comes in, Mr. Speaker, I hate this, the President of the United States. And he has a mace. And I don't even know. Stu, does he carry the mace around? He doesn't do that, does he?
I don't know the answer to that, no.
Well, you would recognize it. It's this, do you know what it is? Have you ever seen it?
No.
Okay, this is a tradition, comes from the 1800s, like 1840. They decided to go all regal on us. And so they made this mace, and it's 13 wooden rods, and then I think in silver it's bound together like a fasces, and so it's bound together with silver. Then it has a globe on the top and a giant silver eagle, and so he carries this around like, I can hit you with this at any time, and I can also have you arrested because I've got this big stick thing. So the sergeant of arms, he grabbed the mace in this melee, and he started swinging the mace. You're not really actually supposed to swing it. And he was swinging the mace. Somebody else, they were punching each other, about 30 of them, punching each other. One guy, this is my favorite. I would love to see this recreated. A guy named Cadwallader Washburn.
It's a solid name right there. Cadwallader Washburn.
It is, isn't it? Yeah. I'm Cadwallader Washburn. He was a northerner. He was a Republican I think he was a Republican. Yeah, Wisconsin Republican. Cadwallader Washburn. He grabs one of the Democrats. He was a Democrat from Mississippi. His name was William Barksdale. And he grabs him and grabs his hairpiece and rips it off. This is one of the most satisfying moments I can possibly imagine. Imagine somebody in Washington, D.C., they're having a brawl, and a famous politician, which had to be an infamous hairpiece, somebody reaches and rips it off his head, and he's bald. How satisfying would that be?
Needs to happen at more get-togethers in Washington.
It does. It needs to happen tonight. Mm-hmm. It needs to happen tonight. I'm going to be up in the balcony, and I'm going to be going, Cadwallader Washburn! Anyway, now, here's what made me think of what I thought of when I read this. Stu, do you remember when George, our agent, went through a period of his life where he thought he should have a toupee?
I don't, no. I don't
you
remember
don't
this.
Remember this?
No.
Really?
No.
Wow. Okay, so George, he's bald as a cue ball. He's just got the hair right around the strip, okay? Mm-hmm. He's been bald since like 1971. And everybody knows that he's bald. He comes into the office one day, and he goes into all the management, and I'm on the air, and somebody comes into the office and says, "Do not say anything. George is wearing a toupee." And I'm like, "What? George is wearing a toupee? Well, maybe he's wearing it as a joke." No, he's not. We called. He's wearing a toupee.
We called.
Okay.
So like a central information source of some some sort.
Yeah. So yeah, is this a joke toupee? So he wears the toupee, and I'm sitting in this meeting, and I'm like, I can't. I mean, I have to say something, but I don't. I don't. Just in case it's a joke. Well, about 10 days go by, and no one has said anything about this. And I said, before he was coming in, I said, we have to tell him about the toupee, because it's ridiculous, and he's serious. And so everybody's like, no, I'm not going to say anything. I said, I will. So he sits down in my office, and I said, George, I got to talk to you about the hairpiece. He said, what? I said, the hair. What are you talking about? George, you've been bald, completely bald, until last Friday. We all have noticed. What do you think? I think it looks ridiculous. Why are you doing this? And he said, well, thank you for saying something. You know, nobody would say anything to me. And it was just a joke. It was just a joke. And I could tell that it wasn't. And it was him just going through a time in his life. I mean, guys, women don't understand what hair, losing your hair, does to you. It freaks you out. And apparently, all the way up until you're in your 70s, it continues to freak you out. So he took the hairpiece off. But anyway, I brought that story up because I thought you remembered. He looked ridiculous in it. And that was in like 2010, when hairpieces were good. What did hair pieces look like in 1850?
Yeah, that's like you slaughter a beaver on the way into the Capitol and you just throw it on your head. That's about as good as it could have possibly been.
Yeah, that'd be like a coonskin cap. I mean, what did that look like? Oh. Can you imagine how ridiculous somebody looked in one of those back then?
You think that's bad? Think of how it smelled. I mean, nothing could have smelled good in that era. Imagine either a dead animal or a bunch of other humans' hair kind of just worn on a sweaty head with no air conditioning.
I hate to bring this up. But do you know that in medieval times, urine was a prized possession? Urine was collected but it's true. They used to think that it had purifying properties, and so they would wash their hair in it, and they would, like, brush their teeth if they brushed their teeth with it.
Is this true?
It's honest to God true. No, it's honest to God true.
Shockingly, the life expectancy was, like, 32, which...
No, that was old age.
Oh, okay.
That was old age. You know what? You can say what you want. You can say how horribly oppressed you are and all these things. You ain't brushing your teeth and washing your hair and urine, man. Be happy. Be happy.
I think that's how Trump starts the State of the Union today. Hey, look, there's some things you don't like, but you're not brushing your hair brushing your teeth and washing your hair and urine. So be happy. All right. Good night, everybody.
That's the State of the Union.
It's pretty strong. Thanks. Good night.
Good night, everybody. Yeah. I think that's exactly right. We'll get to what you should watch for tonight in the State of the Union, what we think is going to happen, coming up in just a second. Also, Ben Sasse on his is banning of infanticide. An incredible story.
What an extremist he is. I can't believe he's asking to ban it completely. I mean, no options for infanticide, not even one?
Yeah, you have the baby. You can't let it die or kill it.
Come on now. An extreme circumstance. You're late for an appointment.
Okay, Jesus. I mean, thanks a lot for dropping by. All right. Our sponsor this half hour is Relief Factor. If you're in constant pain, believe me, I understand it. Pain is something that just grinds on you. And you think when you're young, oh, you know what? I'm invincible. And you really believe that. You believe that things are always going to be this way. They're not. If I had a recommendation for anyone, it would be, but except for me, it would be eat your vegetables, exercise, get your sleep. Now that those are all, you know, that's water under the bridge, I'm not doing any of that. But I am relieving my pain and inflammation with Relief Factor. I highly recommend if you have pain, try Relief Factor. We've advertised it for about 5 years, but you've never heard me speak about it until this year, because I started taking it out of total sheer desperation. I started taking it because there was nothing else left. And I didn't take it originally because it's all natural. Oh, jeez. Why jump on that bandwagon now? And I never think that that natural stuff works. This does. 70% of the people who try it end up ordering it month after month after month. I've been taking it 3 times a day for about a year. I highly recommend Relief Factor. ReliefFactor.com. Call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384 or ReliefFactor.com. We pause for 10 seconds. Station ID. Welcome to the program. I'm so glad that you're here today. Stu, we go to State of the Union, or do we pivot? You know, let's hang off on the abortion thing, because it's amazing and deserves time on its own. Tonight, I'm going to be at the State of the Union.
This is a bizarre development. How did this happen?
So Thomas Massey called me on Thursday, I think. And, you know, he was like, Glenn, I've gone through the phone book. I've gone through my Rolodex. No one will come. No one will come. And I was like, okay. And he's like, I have to know right away if you'd want to come. And it sounded sad. I got a phone message from him, and it sounded sad. He was like, I'm going to be the only one without a guest. And because there's only like 50 people that want to go. And they all got to those people before I did. So
you're really in demand here.
I'm the last. This was, honest to God, this was Thomas Massey going, who else could we call? Somebody said, Glenn Beck. Oh, no. I'm looking for somebody who is, like, you know, important or interesting or something. I have to have dinner with him. Not Glenn Beck. Who else? Charlie Manson was not allowed to leave, and so they got down to my phone number, and I said yes. Surprisingly, I've turned this down for 15 years in a row, I said this year because I'm really not sure how many more of these we're going to have.
The State of the Union speech overall. I mean, it doesn't seem like.
Yeah.
I mean, I would love, as you know, I would love for this thing to go away. I hate it. I've hated it since birth. You know, it used to be a letter. It should go back to being a letter. But I don't know.
I mean, I hate it.
These guys love the audience. I don't think it's ever going away.
Yeah. Well, I really despise it because, I mean, who was it that started it?
Woodrow Wilson brought it back. He wasn't the first person who ever did a speech, but he was the guy who made it into this annual event.
Exactly right. You could deliver it as a speech, but it's asked for as a letter from time to time.
Not even every year.
And the reason, right. And the reason why it was from time to time was because Congress was only supposed to meet in the summer. That was it. They all had jobs. I don't know if they were all teaching school or something, but they could take the summers off, and they all came to Washington, and that's the only time they were supposed to meet. They were supposed to meet like 3 months out of the year. And the Capitol, oh, I hate this city so much. I used to love this city. This city is nothing but skyscrapers all around it with all of this industry. Everybody who's got their hand out for the taxpayer money. And I just despise it. It's the only place, when we hit in 08, the only place that had skyscrapers in the sky that were building buildings still were in Texas and in Washington, D.C., and for the opposite reasons. One was actually creating jobs. The other one was just getting fat off of taxes. And I just despise it. I just despise it. But you were supposed to meet in this swamp from time to time so the president could go, yeah, by the way, this is what I've been doing lately. I've been traveling around. I've been hearing people. And they don't really like you guys. So I suggest you do this. That's what it was supposed to be.
Yeah, because they didn't know. I mean, back in those days, people had no idea what the president was trying to accomplish and what he thought was important. And at that time, it probably made sense. However, they still did it as a letter. I mean, there's a good argument to have the priorities of the president in a formal, written way so that people can kind of like look at it back in history and try to, you know, see what the priorities were at the time and the arguments. That's all valuable. But now, I mean, the speech thing is it's all pomp. It's all circumstance. It's all just this, you know, this ridiculous thing it's that I expect from another country and not us. You know, yeah, everyone fake clapping
regal.
And everything. Oh, yeah. It's just like royalty. It's ridiculous.
It is.
It really is a really terrible tradition. It was terrible when Obama did it. It's terrible when every president does it. It's got nothing to do with who the president is. It's just got to do with we were a country that was created to fight against events like this. If nothing else, to fight against these.
We made fun of countries like this.
Yes, that was our shtick.
We
was
made
our shtick.
Fun of countries. Our deal was, look at these dopes. I mean, that was our deal.
Yeah.
And now we are those people.
Yeah. I just don't get it.
No, we're not those people. The people here are those people.
There was a part of me that hoped with this whole little battle between Trump and Pelosi that Trump would just be like, you know what? No more. I'm sick of this nonsense. I'm sick of people trying to use this against me. I'll send you a letter. I might just tweet the thing. And that's it. You know what? Probably far more people would actually see it if he tweeted it. Certainly the media would be obsessed with every word of it if it came out via Twitter. It probably would get more attention. I mean, at this point, just kill this event. It's just so awful. But I mean, I just think that it is one of the biggest audiences a president can get. And if Trump can kind of move the American people on a particular issue or two, maybe it's
you know
a good
why
idea,
it has a big audience. It has the big audience because it's on every channel.
Yeah.
No but one can now watch that you else. Have Facebook, YouTube. That's where we're going to be. Live tonight, Facebook, YouTube, and the Blaze TV, commercial free. It's the State of the Union. Tonight, it begins at 7:30 Eastern. I'll be live from the Capitol. Eric Bolling is hosting our coverage. Then it moves to the Trump Hotel until, I think, midnight or 1 o'clock.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
No one should feel unsafe at home, period. Fear really has no place in our homes. And an easy way to make sure that your family feels safe, that you feel safe, is by having Simply Safe. This company, I remember when it had 6 employees. They just ran a Super Bowl ad. It's going international. This is the greatest thing because the guy who invented this, and he still runs the company and still is watching over every bit of tech. His grandfather was a guy who made something, I don't remember what it was, but for our tanks in World War II, and it was instrumental in us winning World War II. He always wanted to be an inventor that changed the world like his grandfather. He did with Simply Safe, the best home security. And you can get it now, $14.99 a month for monitoring, simplysafebeck.com, simplysafebeck.com.
Join us for another Blaze TV live event tonight as we cover the State of the Union Address starting at 7:30 Eastern on Facebook, YouTube, or blazetv.com/Beck.
Why pay your hard-earned money to join an organization that fought for a government-run healthcare system and stood against tax cuts for middle-class Americans and small business owners? That's AARP. Join AMAC, the conservative alternative. Same money-saving benefits of AARP without the liberal agenda. Stand with AMAC as they fight the good fight. Become a member today. Join now at amac.us/USA. amac.us/USA.
Tonight, Blaze TV Live. We are live from the State of the Union. I'll be up on Capitol Hill. I'll be actually inside with the doors closed and locked. I'm locked in with those people. Anyway, I'll be up on the Capitol tonight, and then I'll be joining for the later coverage as well. But Blaze TV is going to be uncensored, unfiltered, unapologetic. Our State of the Union coverage tonight. We have Mark Levin's going to be there. I'm going to be there. Phil Robertson is going to be ranting a bit. Ali Stuckey, John Miller, Ben Ferguson, Steve Dace, Sarah Gonzalez, Nate Madden, who is our correspondent up on Capitol Hill, and he's really good. Sean Spicer is going to be joining us. Corey Lewandowski. Oof. Bill O'Reilly is going to be there as well. So you don't want to miss it. Tonight, our special coverage, State of the Union. So have you seen who, first of all, the president has invited that little kid that, actually the first lady invited, that little kid who was bullied because his last name is Trump. Okay, 12-year-old sixth grader. And his last name is Trump, and he has been bullied so bad that I think he didn't go to school for a while, right? And they hope that it died down, and it never did, and it's horrible.
Yeah, obviously horrible. I mean, this is a very much a function of our society today, right? Mm-hmm, I mean, the fact that some kid with the last name is the president is, I mean, I feel like there was a time in which that would have been a really cool thing for a kid. Right now, I mean...
Now it's not.
Now it's not.
You know who actually, the reason why Thomas Massey invited me is because he did invite, what's the kid from Covington? And the parents were like, we don't want him. We just don't want him doing anything anymore. We just want it to go away, which I think was a really smart thing to do.
That's where I would be as Thomas, a parent in that situation for sure.
Me too.
I would want this
me
thing
too.
Over.
Me too. And Thomas was very helpful with the family and that whole thing in Covington. I mean, that's his area. That's why I got, you know, the sloppy invite because everybody else was turning him down, you know, of any real importance. But anyway, last night on CNN with Cuomo, he said, you know, the first lady... is bringing that kid who is because of his last name, Trump, no relation, was bullied. We all know the scourge of bullying. Somewhere between the third and a quarter of the kids in America say they've been bullied at school. Trump's own Health and Human Services identifies being gay or disabled as those who are most at risk. But now, the kid with the last name Trump. And he tries to get Don Lemon to go in with him. He says, my concern is that he's just going to be used as a political pawn. And that all the different kinds of bullying that goes on, they're highlighting someone giving Trump a hard time. Don Lemon doesn't go for it. Cuomo comes back and says, I'm worried about the kid. Because he's got enough trouble, you know? Wait a minute. So you're worried about this kid, but last week you weren't worried about the Covington school kids. All of them. You weren't worried about them.
No, not worried about making a kid who stood somewhere and didn't move with a red hat on,
right,
making him into a national news story for multiple weeks.
Right.
That did not concern the bullying folks at all. They didn't care about that.
Right.
But,
and they didn't mind using kids as political pawns when there was a shooting at a school. They had no problem with that. Parkland, what? They weren't political pawns. They weren't being used by us.
They were putting on David Hogg
worried
for
about
like
Donald Trump
tax policy and term limits. Like, what is this kid on TV for today? I don't understand. I know. It's all they had. They had someone who could not be criticized. So he could come in and say every liberal talking point, and if you said anything critical about him, you know, every boycott organization would jump into action.
Correct, because they had to protect these kids because those kids agreed with them.
Mm-hmm.
Don Lemon says, if there's a lesson in this for anyone, it's beyond the kid. It's for the president. Now listen to this. They're talking about the kid who was bullied because his last name was Trump. It's really for the president. Maybe this president has something to learn from a 12-year-old sixth grader. He goes on to say, And maybe the president will see the error of his ways and he'll stop calling people names and making fun of them because this kid knows how it feels firsthand to be bullied. Maybe the president will learn from it. Wait a minute. I agree with you that the president calls people names. That's his deal. Get over it. I don't like it either. I wish the president didn't, but that's the way he's always lived his life. You thought it was funny when he wasn't running the president, or when he wasn't running the country. You thought it was funny. Now that he's the president, oh, now it's not so funny. However, I just want to remind you of a couple of things. One, teabaggers. You remember that from the president? These teabaggers go around. You didn't have a problem with that. And second of all, the president should learn from this. The kid's being bullied because his last name is Trump. I don't think it's Donald Trump or his supporters that are bullying this kid. Where are they feeling empowered to bully back? Where are they feeling empowered to call people names? Media outlets? Their parents? I mean, we're all responsible for this. Yeah. But kids learn mainly from their parents on what's acceptable.
And the media calls Trump names all the time. They act as this a one-way street.
I know.
Do you remember when they were saying how many reporters were tweeting about how they wanted Barron Trump to be locked up in a cage like those kids on the border?
Yes.
I mean, this is not something that is... Look, I don't like it either. I mean, I don't think it's a great idea. It's really something that, you know, dopey talk show hosts like us do, which is, you know, like that is where it's expected. And I don't think the president should be doing it. But I mean, you can't say that this is a one sided thing where he's the one bullying.
Oh, my gosh. Stop.
They're calling him fascist and racist and every horrible name on the planet every day. Every day they call him these things. I mean, this is a two-way street that they don't feel like they're on.
His guests tonight are all just for political posturing. Now, I want to compare guests. Here's who he's invited. Alice Marie Johnson. She's the cocaine grandma. Remember? Timothy Matson.
That was pardoned? Is that who you're talking about? Yeah, okay. With Kim Kardashian and that whole thing, yeah.
Right. Timothy Matson and Judah Samat. These are two survivors of the Tree of Life synagogue. That, remember when the anti-Semitic guy shot the synagogue up. Ashley Evans, who struggled with opioids. Matthew Charles, 21 years in prison, and has been turned out for release. And now the cocaine grandmother, Ashley Evans, Matthew Charles, those are all about opioids and about reform. And they're wanting to say this is divisive. The president, I can guarantee you, is going to say about prison reform, he's going to say, we came together and did something together. We need to pull together and move priorities together. He's going to call for unity. I can guarantee it. And they're going to roll their eyes. By the way, what is the over-under for you for eye rolls from Nancy Pelosi?
It's interesting. I've heard people talk about how many times she's going to eye roll, and it's just it's hard to detect any expression on her face.
Botox.
So, yeah, I mean,
I know that's why I'm down that's why I'm down. I'm only six faces. She'll try to do more, but she'll only be able to make six different faces. Okay, six different times. She won't be able to battle the Botox any more than that. The eye roll, I give her two.
That sounds like a reasonable over-under. There's got to be Vegas odds on this stuff, doesn't there? I got to look for this.
Got to be. Okay, so he's also got Elvin Hernandez. He's a special agent with trafficking in persons unit of the Homeland Security Department. And can I tell you something? This guest, I think, came from Tim Ballard. Do you see that Tim Ballard, the CEO of the Nazarene Fund, or the chairman of this, I don't know what he is, and also OUR, he was with the president yesterday afternoon, and they were meeting about his op-ed piece that he wrote last week. Here's one reason we need border security, and he talked about the human trafficking that's happening on the border. I expect that is going to play a role tomorrow, and congratulations to this audience for bringing this to the light of the world, if you will. You're the ones who started this, and it's a compelling argument, and hopefully the president will make that tonight. Okay, so those are the people the president is inviting. They don't seem divisive. Now let me give you the list of the Democrat invitees. We'll do that in just a minute.
Also have, Glenn, a list of prop bets for the State of the Union coming up as well. Like, does he mention CNN? Does he, over under on how many times he says jobs? We'll get into all those here coming up in just a minute. Valentine's Day is not far away. You should know that. It's, what, 9 days away from right now? How about getting a gift? How about taking 10 to 15 years off your appearance with a new GenuCell jawline treatment? No more turkey neck, no more double chin, no more sagging jawline. How about that? Linda B. from Marina Del Rey says, I love your jawline cream. It really works. I really see a difference, and people never believe my age. It works. From now till Valentine's Day, the brand new GenuCell jawline treatment is yours free when you order GenuCell for bags and puffiness under the eyes. And for results...
Can I bathe in it?
Yes, you can. Yeah, the puffiness is not just for the under the eyes for you, Glenn. You could get it
yes, thank you.
All over. For results in 12 hours, they have the GenuCell immediate effects, and that's also free. Go to GenuCell.com. It's GenuCell.com or call 800-577-8709. Say goodbye to the double chin, the bags under your eyes, and even those laugh lines and crow's feet are gone, guaranteed, or your money back. They've got this crazy offer going on for one more week, 800-577-8709 or GenuCell.com. Order now. You get the GenuCell Collagen Builder and free express shipping. They got the whole package for you. 800-577-8709 or GenuCell.com, GenuCell.com.
You know, I'm making a bingo card for tonight. We'll post it at glenbeck.com. You can play State of the Union bingo. But if I get it first, you'll hear me from the upper balcony. Bingo! But it's got all of the things that I think that might happen. Like, for instance, Nancy Pelosi, eye roll, one. There's eye roll two. You can't count them the same. Nancy Pelosi tries to make a face.
Wait, hold on.
It's kind of subjective.
I have a clarification on Nancy Pelosi. What if she rolls only one eye? I feel like with her situation.
It is an eye roll, not eyes roll.
Right. So if one eye rolls and then the other eye rolls immediately afterwards, that's two eye rolls?
If they are revolving in other directions... So one goes left, then one goes right. I'm okay with that.
Even if they're at the same time.
If one goes left, and then it comes back to the center, and the other one goes right, then I'm okay with that.
Okay. That's an important clarification.
So I have Venezuela, border security, Nancy Pelosi makes a face, applause with the other side sitting down, unity, border fence, jobs, one and two, unemployment, we need to work together, Nancy Pelosi, eye roll two, unity, Gorsuch, fake news, emergency, it's not legislation, what is he calling this, emergency action for the border?
Mm-hmm.
What is that called? I might have to take emergency measures or whatever it
national
is.
Emergency?
National emergency, is that what it is? I'll have to declare I don't think it's that. I'll look it up. We'll have the right one. But what that means is, you know, when he says, I might have to take extraordinary measures. I need to take, you know, matters into my own hand. China, border wall, and border fence. So
now jobs always come in a pair of threes. People, they just say jobs, jobs, jobs. So if you have jobs one and jobs two, I mean, that's almost a guarantee. You can almost mark those boxes off right now.
So why don't we do jobs? We go jobs one and jobs four.
I think that's true.
Basically goes jobs, jobs, jobs. Now, if he doesn't do jobs, 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 you can count the next job. At the end of the speech, if he's not talking about jobs, 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 you can count two jobs.
So you're thinking
it's either four or two.
Job groupings is essentially your category
here. Job, job, jobs is a grouping.
Now, there's an actual bet you can place on the over-under for the amount of times he says jobs during the speech, which is seven and a half.
Seven and a half.
Yeah, over under seven and a half. Wow. Now, of course, jobs, jobs, jobs get you almost half the way there, and he does it one time.
Yeah, it does.
You're in really good position.
In Glenn, Not in Glenn Beck's State of the Union bingo, though.
No, that does not help you in State of the Union bingo. They also have some other bets they have. Some of the ones you mentioned, North Korea, Mexico, China, Russia. Will he say that? You can get up to Russia was 4.5 to 1. You can get that. They have.
I'm going to take.
Are the first two
Russia.
Words of his speech "thank you"? If they're not, then you can get 3 to 1 on that one. Does he mention CNN? About 3 to 1 on that. ISIS. If he does not mention ISIS, 5 to 1. He's going to mention ISIS. That's you can't win.
Yeah,
that
that's
bet.
Done.
Let's see. They have a prop bets on what color dress will Ivanka Trump wear. What color dress will FLOTUS wear?
She wore white last time.
Yeah, white's 4 to 1 this time, Glenn. You can get black at 2 to 1, blue 2.25 to 1, red 3.5 to 1, white 4 to 1, and field 4.5 to 1.
All field? Available. What is that? Camouflage?
It could be any
field.
I mean, that means everything else.
Field and stream? Yeah, she's going to come dressed as a hunter? Or,
no, I don't.
I'm not sure what that means.
I should have been more specific. You're not a big sports bettor.
No, we will post this at glennbeck.com, State of the Union Bingo, and join us tonight, commercial free and free, Facebook, YouTube, also blazetv.com/Beck. Eric Boulding is our host tonight, live from Washington. First, let me tell you about Home Title Lock. You should be very aware of this if you are a homeowner, because you could easily become a victim. FBI says this is the fastest growing crime in America. If you have a mortgage or refi or HELOC through a major bank, there is just a breach. It may already put you in jeopardy. This company, Home Title Lock, is standing right at the vault door, if you will, where all of these titles pass electronically. They're the only ones in this position, so they can guard to make sure that nobody grabs your title. Right now, if you sign up, you can call them and or go online, and they'll give you a free scan to make sure this hasn't happened to you, or if you want to sign up your parents for it, you should. It's $100 value. You get that for free. Visit HomeTitleLock.com. That's HomeTitleLock.com. HomeTitleLock.com. All right. Radio program begins in just a minute.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
So how hard is it to say, if a child is born and we tried to kill it, but if it survives an abortion, once it's born, should we kill it? How hard is it to say, no, we shouldn't kill it? That's infanticide. It's an infant. It's been born. It's outside of the mother's body. No, we shouldn't kill it. Well, apparently for the Senate, that was a bridge too far. We'll give you the details in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Let me tell you about our sponsor this half hour. It's Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Here's one improvement that you can do that will totally change the look and feel of your home, and there is no contractor required. No high ticket price. It is changing the look of your windows, blind shade, shutters, drapes, whatever it is that you're looking for. Blinds.com has it, and they're going to make the selection and the ordering and installation of brand new window coverings fast and really super easy. They have design consultants that are waiting for you. I mean, literally, I thought it would be something that, you know, you go to a place and they're like, we've got design consultants. And then, right. And then I have to wait 3 weeks and make an appointment and everything else. That's not the way it works with Blinds.com.
You have to make sure you're making a big point of this, which is you have to get blinds. You have to do this, and they make it really easy. So you don't have to do anything. That's the most important thing. Design consultants is just a nice, easy pathway to laziness for you. That's how I look at it. They come in, they show you how to do it. They give you the pictures. You just take pictures of it, and they can actually design it and show you what it looks like in the room before you even have to deal with it. And then they make it all super easy so you can be lazy. That's a slogan
some
for
them.
Some
of us are not, guiding our life through laziness, too.
I'm sure there's someone in the audience who's that. I mean, not on this show. But
I don't know. I don't know them, but not everybody is okay. like that. They have 20 years online, 15 million windows have been covered. Blinds.com, America's number one choice. Right now, you get an additional 5% off. Now through February 14th, huge site-wide savings, plus that additional 5% off if you use promo code Beck. It's Blinds.com. That's Blinds.com. Yesterday, Ben Sasse stood up in front of the Senate and he said, we have to decide who we are. Here's Ben Sasse previewing the anti-infanticide vote.
In a few minutes, the United States Senate is going to have an opportunity to condemn infanticide. 100 United States senators are going to have an opportunity to unanimously say the most basic thing imaginable, and that is that it's wrong to kill a little newborn baby. Every senator will have the opportunity to stand for human dignity, to stand for the belief that in this country, all of us are created equal. Because if that equality means anything, surely it means that infanticide is wrong.
I think this is a pretty low hurdle. I think this is one of the lowest hurdles I've ever heard. Now, you want to talk about, you know, a teenager and killing, you know, your teenager, you know, then we could probably talk about that because we all understand that. However, infanticide. So what happened? Because all he said was, we need to have a vote. Now, there is a House, or I mean a Senate rule, that allows a senator to call for a vote like this, but it has to be unanimous. So everybody has to agree that the vote is going to happen. Well, one senator said, this is an outrage. That's not what any of these things mean. These new bills, these new laws in New York. In Virginia, that's not what they were proposing. Yes, that is exactly what they were proposing in Virginia. Exactly. And you're talking about a baby in the last trimester, once the woman has started to give birth. The baby could be in the birth canal, and they can kill the baby. Now, I understand you don't like to call a fetus a child, but when that fetus is going to be transformed in magically somehow into a child within the next minute, your argument kind of breaks down. This is infanticide, clear and simple. And what he was asking for was a vote. If you try to kill a child in the last moment, and they're born alive, do we kill it, or do we have to resuscitate it? Now, if you remember right, the governor of Virginia said we would keep the child comfortable, and then we would talk about it. That's what the governor of Virginia said. That is the bill. That's where we're headed. You would think this would be the easiest vote, because even if you thought that that wasn't what the bill said, you stand up and say, this is the most ridiculous thing because nobody is proposing this. Of course it is an abomination. Of course we're against it.
We saw this with Steve King a couple weeks ago when people were talking about Steve King and he made those comments to the New York Times, and they did a resolution to say, you know, we're against these racist comments and we're against people thinking white supremacy is good. And so Steve King went up in front of the House and said, look, you know, I didn't mean it this way. And he tried to explain himself. But when it came up for the vote, you know who voted for the bill the resolution that said how bad racism was? Steve King. Because the text of the bill basically just said racism's really bad, and Steve King said he agrees with that, so he voted for it. Even though, obviously, this was just targeting him and trying to make him look bad, he still voted for it because the concept of racism is bad, he agreed with. This is the same thing here. You can make the argument, sure, that if you're a Democrat and you don't want these rights to go away, you get nervous every time anything revolving abortion is being voted on. However, when it comes down to the text of what's actually happening here, we're talking about babies that are being born alive and dying afterwards because of our hands.
Here it is. It was the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. That says it all. The bill would have required doctors to provide medical care to babies born alive during failed abortions. So if your baby, this has no application for anything other than the baby was, they tried to abort it, it's now born, you have to keep it alive now because it's a baby and we don't perform infanticide. If you remember right, there was a hospital that got in trouble in Chicago years ago because when this was happening, they wouldn't kill the baby. They would just put it in a closet. Do you remember this? And they would neglect it, and mm-hmm. it would eventually die. So nobody wanted to kill it. They just neglected it by putting it in a closet. And one of the nurses was like, this is craziness. So Patty Murray from Washington. Now, here's the problem in Washington, I think. And I say this as a Washingtonian. I'm somebody who grew up in the Pacific Northwest. I just had good enough sense to get out of there before this happened to me. But you, once you live there for a while, it's like the water starts to seep into your head, and moss starts to grow on your brain, and it's sloshing around in there. And before you know it, you're just a big jughead of water. And brain power is almost entirely taken by moss. And I think that might have happened with Patty Murray. I'm not sure. She may be a moss brain at this point. Because how do you stand up? Unless you are trying to protect this procedure, how do you stand up and do that?
If you are
a politician, You are so convinced that the people on the left in your district are so cool with infanticide that you can get away with it?
And you're about to get a year and a half of a campaign in which everyone tries to say how much infanticide is allowable. And if you don't allow more, you're going to be an evil conservative and can't get the nomination for the presidency. It's a giant candy jar for Republicans politically, but the scariest thing in the world. I mean, the fact that for politics, they will go so far as to not even deny people's rights to kill people that are alive.
I think this is not for politics.
I think it is.
Tell me why.
Because, you know, I think what happens here is they see it as this slippery sort of slope to erode women's rights. For example, if I were to say to you, do you support killing kids a month after birth? People would, you know, 100% of people in theory would say, well, of course not. That makes you a murderer. You're a psychopath if you want that. Well, what about 10 seconds or 5 seconds after birth? Well, no, of course they're born. And that's where you get 99 senators on board here, right? But then what about 5 seconds before birth? Well, still, most people would say no, it's well over 80%. No. If you go to the second trimester, what about then? People will say, well, now it's like about 70% oppose it. And if you do the third trimester or the first trimester, then it's about 50%. The point of this, though, is to say that if 5 seconds after birth, it makes you a murderer, and 5 seconds before birth is okay, almost everyone would agree that that is a nonsensical, crazy position. To say that 10 seconds could be the difference between you being a fighter for women's rights and a murderer. So back that up to whatever level you're at. If you think it's the end of the first trimester, how about 10 seconds before that? How about 10 seconds after that? If you are the type of person who's saying, well, I think it's okay here and not there, what you're saying is the same point. About 10 seconds from one line to the other is the difference between one person fighting for women's rights and being a psychopathic murderer. And none of that makes any sense. When you draw a line like that, and if people start thinking about that line, wherever you draw that line, you realize what you're doing is something that is completely insane. And the further we go down the debate there, and the further that gets to be clarified, the scarier it becomes for people who are pro-choice, because you can't make that distinction when you're arguing about a completely arbitrary line. You say whatever you want about science. There's no way you can say, well, at 3 months, this thing over a 2 second period goes from a fetus to a child. It's completely an insane viewpoint, and no one can logically believe it. And so that is why I think they try to guard these lines so carefully, because as soon as you start really putting a magnifying glass up to what they say they believe, it doesn't make any sense, and it's indefensible. It's indefensible.
So I tend to agree with you, and I think I agree entirely with what you just said, but I don't necessarily agree that this is just a political maneuver, and I want to explain why, but give me 1 minute, and then we'll come back. You're always no more than 1 minute away from programming. We have moved the commercials, those long commercial breaks, out of the first half hour. We've gotten rid of them entirely in the first half hour, and we only stop for a minute at a time so we can get right back into the discussion. So let me spend 1 minute talking about Simply Safe. Simply Safe's mission from day number one was to make sure that people had no fear in their own home. Now 3 million families agree, I don't have any fear in my home. They are protected with Simply Safe. Simply Safe is a system that blankets your entire home with protection. Around-the-clock professional monitoring, make sure the police are on the way, fire are on the way, ambulance is on the way when you need them. And they have these security sensors that are now so small, they're just teeny things. They blend in with your home. You're really not even going to notice them. Verge calls Simply Safe the best home security, and it's a wire cutter top pick. More than 3 million Simply Safe customers already know it feels great to fear less. Simply Safe. Protect your home now without a contract, $14.99 a month for the 24/7 monitoring, and you can get 10% off your system right now, plus get free shipping on any system. Just visit simplysafebeck.com. Get started now, simplysafebeck.com. That's simplysafebeck.com. We pause for 10 seconds, station ID. This is the Glenn Beck Program, live from the nation's capital for our State of the Union coverage on Blaze TV tonight. And you can watch it for free on Facebook, on YouTube, also on the Blaze TV. It's blazetv.com/Beck. Sign up and help us continue to tell the truth and speak with boldness. We have tonight joining us, Mark Levin is going to be there. I don't know if I can be live. I'm pretty sure I can't be live from inside the State of the Union, but I'm going to be inside the Capitol, and then hopefully I'll be joining Eric Bolling later. He's going to be here at our anchor desk here in Washington, D.C., and then I think he's going down the street after the State of the Union, and it's going to be held at the bar there in the Trump Hotel, which is, I stayed there last night. It is a beautiful hotel. It's the old post office, and it's just unbelievably beautiful. Anyway, I'm going to be with the gang. Phil Robertson from Duck Dynasty is chiming in. John Miller, he is our guy who is has the White House covered. He's in the White House press corps. Ben Ferguson is going to be on with us. Steve Dace, Sarah Gonzalez, Sean Spicer is going to be joining us. Bill O'Reilly will also be joining us, all from Washington tonight. You can find it at the Blaze TV. That's blazetv.com/Beck. If you use Beck as the promo code, you'll also save 10%.
I hope you're going to put them all on the same panel. So we have like a table that goes like 400 football fields long with all of them sitting at it.
And we're all talking at once. Yes. And arguing and pulling wigs off.
It's the only way to do coverage. I learned it from CNN.
Yeah, really. I hate that. Oh, I hate that. All right. Let me get back to Patty Murray blocking the Senate bill banning infanticide. Now, here is what the bill said. It requires doctors to provide medical care to babies who are born alive during failed abortions. So you're having a last-minute abortion. You're in labor. The baby is born. You tried to kill it. It's born alive. Do we have to keep it alive? Do we have to feed it? Do we have? Can we neglect it until it dies? Can we? Do we have to give it medical help to heal it again after trying to kill it? Well, Patty Murray said, this is just ridiculous. This is just, she said, this is a gross misinterpretation of the actual language of the bill that is being asked to be considered, and therefore I object. So the bill didn't pass because of her. Now, if you don't believe that, if you think that this is not what the bill says, you say exactly that. That's not what the bill says. This is a gross misrepresentation of what this bill does. And of course, we're all against it. I stand against it, as do all of my colleagues. So, yes, pass this bill. That's what you say. Now, a lot of people are saying that this is all about politics. And I think part of it is for some. But I think the Democratic Party, the leadership, has gone so far to the crazy side that there are those that want infanticide. There are those. I mean, we have gone from a culture that says, you know, it should be rare, it should be safe, but, you know, it should really be rare. And it's really, you know, once we get past the first trimester, it's only for the health of the mother. That's where we were. We are now to the point where they are shouting their abortion. We are now at a point to where they are releasing video of them talking to school kids who think abortions are not good, and they're trying to say, you know what? I mean, I wasn't reckless. We just didn't want to have protection while we were in the moment, and so I got pregnant, and well, I don't want to have a baby. And they're trying to convince these kids that it's okay. They're starting to do TV shows. They're doing everything they did with Ellen back in the 90s to try to normalize homosexuality, which worked. This now is normalizing death. This is normalizing death. And I think there are those people, we know it. I mean, we've talked about this before. The Weather Underground, they're perfectly willing to kill people. How many people in Occupy Wall Street, Stu, did we interview that said, yeah, I mean, people are going to have to die because, you know, this system is just broken and it's killing our planet. How many people would be comfortable on the left killing a lot of people?
We have played many of the clips over the years. And I think the difference, I guess, in what we're talking about slightly is I think the admitting it is the politics, right? Like what they say is never what they believe unless it's politically beneficial. For example, we all know that they've supported gay marriage long before they started admitting it. When Hillary Clinton was saying it was a foundational principle of her soul that marriage was between one man and one woman, did anyone believe that? When Bill Clinton was saying the era of big government is over in big speeches, did anyone believe that? No, they were incentivized at that time through politics to say that they opposed those things. That's what's, I think, different, because it's a different thing about society right now, is that people, the Democrats now believe and are incentivized to admit that they want abortion up to the last second, and but quite are possibly they past mis- that.
Are they misreading this? Are we a nation now that is ready to embrace infanticide? Are they delusional? Are we delusional?
Well, they have a primary audience that might be willing to embrace it. I don't know if they walk the American people back. I don't know. I don't know how you
How do you walk that back with Democrats in the center of the country?
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
Our sponsor is 1-800-FLOWERS. Okay, what are you going to do? Valentine's Day is
9 days away.
9 days. Yeah. 9 days away. 9 days away. It's good. What are you going to do? Belle, I have the Enchanted Rose Medley from 1-800-Flowers.com. Belle, the Enchanted Rose Medley?
Nice. Oh, get that over with.
You see who that's geared toward. You get that because you say it's the Enchanted, and she goes, "Oh, that's great." And inside, you're dying in an Enchanted rose medley. Anyway, it's 18 stems of these nice little Enchanted roses. They'll turn you from a beast into something she likes to look at. For $29.99, you double it for 36 roses for $20 more at 1-800-Flowers.com. That's 1-800-Flowers.com. Enter radio code Beck.
Blaze TV is live today. Tonight, we cover the State of the Union starting at 7:30 on Facebook, YouTube, or blazetv.com/Beck. Use the promo code Beck.
iPatriots.us is a new conservative alternative to liberal-based email services. It's secure, private, and safe, no ads or spam, and they won't collect or sell your data ever. Go to iPatriots.us right now, pick your membership. At checkout, select your own iPatriots email address, enter promo code Patriot, get the first month free. Go month to month, cancel anytime.
This is the Glenn Beck Program, live from Washington, D.C., in our Washington, D.C. Bureau, where tonight we are covering the State of the Union. You'll be able to watch it. Coverage commercial-free tonight, Blaze Live, Facebook, also on our YouTube page, and of course, blazetv.com/Beck. If you're not a member already, please join us. Use the promo code Beck, and you'll save 10%. We're talking a little bit about how left and how far left and crazy the Democratic leadership has become. And I think they're leaving regular Democrats in the dust if our Democratic friends will actually wake up. If they will wake up to what's happening and stop burying their heads in the sand, I think they will be first quite surprised at what their party has turned into. First of all, they yesterday rejected the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, which protects babies who they tried to abort but were born alive. They would not go with that bill. They said it was a gross misrepresentation of what the bill was. A, that's not true. B, even if it was true, you say, that's not what the bill says, but I'm not for it, and none of us are. The same day that they introduced, in fact, the same person that introduced the new abortion law in Virginia, she also introduced another bill, Bill number 2495, that made it illegal for the state or anyone to, and I'm not making this up, spray to kill canker worms.
Canker?
So
do they cause the sores?
No, they don't. They turn into butterflies, Stu. They turn into butterflies. So the canker worm cannot be killed, and the Democrats rushed to protect the beloved canker worm, but not protect the baby, the unborn baby, or the born baby. Now, that's like saying, look, you can kill a canker worm, but once it's a butterfly, you can't kill it. Okay, well, you're still killing all the butterflies. If you kill all the caterpillars, you're still going to kill the butterflies, because there won't be any butterflies that are born, because that one actually does morph into something entirely different. The baby doesn't, but it's the same principle. But I'm glad you're protecting the butterflies and not the babies. Also, yesterday, Ocasio-Cortez met with Jeremy Corbyn. Now, he is the Labor Party leader. This guy is a socialist. He has never been supportive of anything of Great Britain. He does not like Great Britain. He is the labor union. He is a communist, literally a communist. He, of course, is for peace and prosperity and justice, which progressives cannot promise any of those. They don't work out that way. You feel like saying, well, I'm for peace, prosperity, and justice. You keep using those words. I do not think it means what you think it means, because they're offering social justice. Prosperity does not happen in socialized countries. And peace, really? Because that really hasn't worked out well for you, because the wars that we've been having, generally speaking, have been against national socialist countries and socialist countries, but maybe it's just me. So you have her now saying this anti-Semite, this horrible, horrendous anti-Semite and massive socialist. Oh, we had a wide-reaching conversation, and it was so great to be able to partner with you. Okay. So you have the anti-Semite communist. You have the abortions for all. Then you also had this, and I want to play this audio. This is a Democratic representative that has a new idea to help the public health. Listen how they want to now tax your ammunition.
Currently, ammunition is taxed at the same rate as other products, but we want to increase it by 50% because we see this as a prevention measure. It wouldn't apply to law enforcement or to military, but for example, if someone were to buy a 50-cartridge box of ammunition, which goes for about $10, it would increase the price to $15. We see this as a public health measure, similar to what we've done in the state of Connecticut with increasing the tax on cigarettes. When we increase that tax, we've seen a reduction in use. And so we want to continue Connecticut's legacy of being a leader on preventing and addressing gun violence. And we see this as another step forward in that direction.
Interesting. Connecticut's a leader on that. Interesting that probably the most famous mass shooting did occur in your state. I don't know if you're aware of this. I don't know if your measures for preventing gun violence have worked all that well. I don't know if anyone's noticed that.
If this isn't going around the Second Amendment, that's all this is. That's all this is. Ammunition is already very expensive. Very expensive. You want to be a good shooter, you have to shoot a lot. You want to be somebody who is sloppy, who's going to get somebody killed, go ahead. Make ammunition unaffordable. Because you can't go out, unless you have iTarget Pro, which you should have, look it up. If you're not at the range shooting a lot of ammunition, you're going to be a danger to yourself and everybody around you. So their solution is tax ammunition.
Yeah.
Make it unaffordable for people.
This is one of those things that they say all the time. It's like the AR-15 is too easy to shoot. It's too easy. It's like, well, what the hell do you want it to be? I mean, you want it to be hard to shoot? You want, if someone has to protect themselves, you want them to, what, have to do a handstand to fire the thing?
Yes.
You want it to fire erratically so it doesn't hit the target and instead hits innocent bystanders? What exactly do you want? Of course you want the thing to be easy to shoot. It's the whole point. You want to be able to hit the target you're aiming for. And obviously, yes, there are people that have used it in terrible ways. But that is not the overwhelming majority of people who have bought millions of these things that aren't used in terrible crimes. It's such a bizarre thing to want it to be used more erratically.
Think about how extreme Congress is going to become in the next 2 years, and how extreme, if they win, how extreme they're going to be. I mean, nobody in the... Remember they used to call us extremists because we stood for the Constitution? Because we stood for the Constitution, we were extremists and haters of the U.S. government. Work that math out in your head.
Mm-hmm.
But you've never heard anyone on CNN or MSNBC or any place else, New York Times, talk about how the Democratic Party has been hijacked by absolute extremists.
I mean, they despise the Constitution. Look at what they do to it. Every time one of their little rights is limited, they get so upset about it. I mean, here's your right to bear arms shall not be infringed. And what do they do? Well, it's okay to infringe it when we really don't like the stuff, like bump stocks, for example. Or if we think they're bad, then we can infringe. And sure, we're not going to infringe your right to bear arms, but we're going to infringe your right to be able to actually purchase the things that go in the guns, the ammunition. This is the same thing, Glenn, they did with the partial birth abortion ban, which was passed and signed. It is against the law to do a partial birth abortion. So instead of partially birthing the baby and then killing it, they kill it inside the womb a day or two beforehand and let it die and then deliver the baby dead instead of partially alive. therefore they can get around it. They're just skirting the law. We all know what these laws are supposed to do. We know what the Second Amendment's supposed to do. They're just finding ways to get around it and acting as if they're, you know, acting in a legal and responsible way. They're not. And it's all because they never get any pushback on these things. I mean, can you imagine if they passed an environmental law, right, that said no coal factories or no coal plants? And what they found is they Republicans started building coal processing plants on one side of the street and coal burning plants on the other side of the street and found out some way to get around the law. There'd be a 300-page New York Times investigation about how they're skirting the spirit of the law. And yet they do this over and over and over again and get zero pushback from the media. There was a ban passed on partial birth abortions. A ban. They're illegal. And yet they're still doing them and getting defense from one of the two major parties. It's inexplicable. Whenever that law is on their side of things, man, they just don't care about it at all.
On top of that, they are always the ones who are telling us we're not going to do that. Mm-hmm. We're not going to use tax dollars to fund abortions. Well, where is that one? Because we're funding Planned Parenthood. How about this one? We are not going for single-payer health care or Medicare for all. We are just going for Obamacare. Well, what about that one? I mean, the people who hate the slippery slope argument always hate it because it is a slippery slope and they know it. It's like they hate the use of the word, don't use the word baby, use the word fetus. Why? Because you know it's a baby. And the only way you can win is through deceit. Now, I'm not saying that the conservatives, you know, aren't deceitful at times. Sure, everybody has bad guys. But I don't know if you've noticed your party has been hijacked by people who have taken the exact opposite opinion of the things that you believe in. The Republican Party do a lot of things that I really don't like. That's why I'm not a Republican. But I will tell you this. They haven't turned into a group of murderous thugs. And the Democratic leadership is starting to look an awful lot like murderous thugs. They're starting to look like, black shirts. They're starting to look an awful lot like the thugs that take over in revolutions. It is really, truly amazing how fast they took off the mask, and it has been a straight, you know, triple diamond slope down into off this mountain. They are just going crazy.
We now have, what, 10 Democratic candidates in, I believe, for 2020 already. We'll probably get another 10 to 15 before this thing is over. The litmus test for them right now is every single one of them basically needs to have any chance to win, has to support Medicare for All. Now, Medicare for All is a proposal that was completely insane just a few years ago. Bernie Sanders proposed Medicare for All in 2013 and got zero co-sponsors of the Democrats. Okay, None of them were with him.
But no, they all were with him. I'm going back to your point that you made earlier. They were all with him. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't politically expedient to say that.
And now it is.
But now that the masks have come off, now they can say, yeah, you're damn right, I'm a socialist. You're damn right I'm for abortion at any time, even after birth. I'm fine with it. If we tried to kill that sucker and that sucker came out and it's still alive, we're going to neglect it or we'll kill it. I'll strangle it with my own hands if I have to. That's the kind of mentality we're dealing with now. They are now at the point to where they're saying, we're just going to make ammunition unaffordable. They'll do anything. And once they tip a little bit farther, I can guarantee you they will all start to say out loud, we got to go for guns. We just have to. I'm sorry, but the Bill of Rights doesn't mean anything anymore. The Second Amendment doesn't mean anything.
And it's scary.
Because they're already doing that with the Fourth Amendment. The Third Amendment as well, with all of the wiretapping and everything else.
I mean, there's two things that can happen here. Either they're going to move so far left, and then when it comes back to a general, the American people, Democrats, are going to be like, whoa, they're way too crazy. Or, God forbid, they might embrace it. because they hate Trump so much, they might embrace these sorts of things, and then we are in a totally different country.
So we want to go to CBS confronting Cory Booker on Medicare for All and also tell you the latest polls from the American people. They're frightening because Republicans are starting to go, you know what, higher taxes, not such a bad idea. All right, first, let me tell you about X-Chair, our sponsor. Few things will change your life for the good, but X-Chair just might do it. If you're like most people, you spend most of your time in your office and in your chair than you do in your own bed. X-Chair is launching a brand new model for a limited time, available only to this audience, and I suggest they get them here. I am in the world's most uncomfortable chair, and it is Eric Bolling's chair here from the Washington Bureau, and it is extraordinary. I don't know if I'm going to be able to walk after this broadcast. They need an X chair here. Anyway, the Super X chairs has all the bells and whistles. X Basic, you still get the critical magic of the dynamic variable lumbar support. You get the height adjustment, the optional headrest. You get the rocking tension control, which is unbelievable. I'm not kidding you. These chairs are as comfortable as any recliner I've ever been in.
Yeah, I'm quite comfortable X-chair, back here in Texas. Team feeling
shut
completely
up.
Fine. I'm in
X chair comes with a 30-day, no questions asked guarantee, complete satisfaction. X chair now on sale, $100 off. Just go to xchairbeck.com. That's the letter X, chairbeck.com, or call 844-4XCHAIR. Use the radio code Beck, BECK, and you'll get a free footrest with it as well. It's xchairbeck.com. Coming up, we have CBS confronting Booker on Medicare for All. Kind of an interesting conversation. Also, who the Democrats have invited to the State of the Union tonight. I am going to the State of the Union. First time in 15 years. I've never gone to the State of the Union, and I turn it down every year. But Thomas Massie invited me this year. I don't know how many more times we're going to be doing the State of the Union. So I thought, give it a whirl. And Eric Bolling is hosting our coverage tonight here from our Washington Bureau, where I'm broadcasting out. State of the Union live tonight. It's on Facebook. It's on YouTube and also on blazetv.com/Beck. Make sure you watch it. Also at glennbeck.com in a little while for the time for the State of the Union. I've put together a little bingo card so you can play State of the Union bingo with us. And Eric Bolling is up next. Eric Bolling is joining us in a minute. Stand by.
Very cool. Relief Factor is our sponsor. Relief Factor is something you should know about if you're dealing with pain. I mean, this goes back to whether you have old sports injuries or, you know, we have a couple people here who are in the military and have been dealing with that over a long period of time. Or if you just have pain really for any reason, if you're looking for a way to be able to pick up your grandkids and you're looking for a way to just not, you know, get your life back, to not have to deal with this on an everyday basis, Relief Factor is a great way to go because it's basically a very low risk, high reward proposition. You've got the $20 quick start, which is 3 weeks for $20, and 70% of people go on to buy more and more. But beyond that, you have the situation that if it works for you, you get your life back. You don't have to deal with this anymore. It really made it as an amazing difference for you, Glenn, I know.
It's fantastic. It's Relief Factor. You can find Relief Factor now at relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com. Get your life back. Try it now. Relieffactor.com. Mr. Eric Bolling and State of the Union next.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
I am live from Washington, D.C. today because of the State of the Union. I have turned this thing down 15 years in a row, but honestly, I don't know how many more of these, thank God, we're going to have. And this one is historic. It's truly historic. What is the president going to say? We talk to the guy who's going to be leading our coverage on Blaze TV, Eric Bolling, in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
We launched realestateagentsitrust.com for a really simple reason, and that is to help you sell your home fast and for top dollar. And we've learned that there are three secrets to success. First, selling or buying a home, really complex. You have to have somebody who has a lot of knowledge and experience in navigating the waters. So we choose agents with a long track record of success. The second thing is, the most important part of a sell or a purchase is evaluating the right price. If you don't know the right price, you're going to miss out on that home you really like, or you're going to be stuck with your home because it's too high of a price, or too low, even worse. Our agents, therefore, number two, are experts in your neighborhood. And third, you have to really like the people who you are trusting with your biggest investment of your life. That's why we select agents who are fans of the program just like you. They do business like you. They share your values. So if you want your home sold fast for the most amount of money, the least headache, go to realestateagentsitrust.com to help you buy or sell your home fast. Get moving now with realestateagentsitrust.com. So Eric Bolling is hosting our live coverage on the Blaze TV tonight. It'll be on YouTube, Facebook, blazetv.com. You will see quite a lineup tonight. Mark Levin will be there. I will be there. Sean Spicer, Bill O'Reilly, Corey Lewandowski is also going to be there, and all hosted by Eric Bolling.
And the Mooch.
How are you?
Scaramucci's going to be there, too. Can't leave out the Mooch.
Well, I would, but you don't have to.
I'm doing well, Glenn. You know, the only thing we're on Facebook, YouTube, blazetv.com, dropping the paywall. We should be in Times Square on that big Megatron in Times Square, don't you think?
Yeah.
Well, just for your hits.
Just for us. Yeah, just for us. Okay, so what are you expecting tonight? What do you hope the president's going to do?
I hope he turns around and smiles at Nancy Pelosi and says, see, I got this. I'm getting my wall, like it or not. I would love that. That would be perfect.
He is. I hope that he is strong on the border. And
he will be.
Is he going to propose something, or is he just going to use the stick and say, I'll just declare a national emergency?
You mean, is he going to propose a deal? No.
Yeah.
I cannot imagine him offering a deal on stage. This is his stage. You know, this is his moment where he gets anywhere between 60 and 90 minutes to make his case for the next year.
But doesn't he need to make the case that it was Congress that shut down the government, not him? I mean, it was his, and he said, I'll take the blame for it. But he expected somebody to negotiate, and he was willing to negotiate. Mm-hmm. You know, okay, not a wall, it's a fence. They were not willing to budge at all.
Yeah, you know what the absolute bizarreness? Here's, if I were Stephen Miller writing his speech right now, I would appeal to people's common sense. Glenn, this is a phrase you used to use. I don't know if you still use it. You should, because you are brimming with common sense. $5 billion on a $4.2 trillion budget comes to about, if you had a $100 bill, it comes to about 10 cents. So if you got a $100 bill in your pocket, are you willing to protect your $100 bill by spending 10 cents to guarantee to protect that $100 bill? Now, $100 bill represents our $20 trillion economy. Open up the southern border. Open up any of our borders. The world will flood in, and you will ruin our economy. You will destroy our country.
You'll do to us what has been done to Europe.
And guess what? If you made a mistake and the 10 cents didn't work, you still have $99.90 in your pocket. But if you don't do it, you might have the whole $100 pickpocketed right from you.
You think he'll break it down like that?
I would if I were him. I don't know if he will. I mean, he's a deal maker, and he walks tall and carries a big stick. So my guess is it'll be along the lines of, hey, I've tried to make a deal with you. We shut down the government. I gave Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer an opportunity to come back to the table, make another deal. You haven't done it. I'll have to do what I have to do. My guess is he'll come a little harder in your face at the Democrats and then put it on them. If they shut down again, you know, Mitch McConnell had a really good line. He said, there's very little education in the second kick of a mule. The Republicans should see that, and I think Trump will see that and say, look, we have to do something. have to do something. I mean, Glenn, you've been around a long time. To find $5 billion in a $4.2 trillion budget is nothing. It's a rounding error in probably five different agencies.
When you talk about the State of the Union, you would have to include something near and dear to you, the opioid crisis, because it's getting worse and worse. We found fentanyl, enough fentanyl to kill 57 million Americans. We found it coming across our border just last week. So we have to talk about the opioid crisis.
In fact, I've emailed back and forth with Stephen Miller. The opioid crisis and fentanyl and you know the whole southern border drug issue will be a big part of that speech, and they've assured me that. There's a new kind of talking point going around right now, and I think it's legitimate. As someone who's lost my only son to this horrible, horrible drug, weaponizing fentanyl. A suitcase filled with fentanyl can kill a whole city. Mm-hmm. Can kill a whole city. So imagine if you can get that into some sort of into the air supply or into the food or water supply. They're talking about weaponizing fentanyl. I think Trump will talk about why another reason why we need the southern border tied up. Back to the $5.7 billion. I think the ask for 2019 by Congress is $27 or $28 billion in foreign aid. To countries like Jordan, well, to Israel as well, but Afghanistan, to Central America, they're asking for our government, our taxpayers, to come forth with $28 billion to help other people out, likely securing their own borders. So I think that he needs to make all these cases tonight and let the American people, you know, do what Glenn Beck does: use your common sense, and common sense says give the guy the money.
So. Do you have confidence? I have, you remember when they used to call us extremists because we stood for the Constitution and the Tea Party. They were government-hating, constitutional crazies, and they were hijacking the Republican Party. You couldn't be more far off the mark than that statement. The Democrats have become such extremists when... Yesterday, Ben Sasse tries to get the Senate to, you know, stand up and say, hey, we're not for infanticide. They won't even be on record for that. They wouldn't even stand up for that vote. It's amazing.
It's amazing you have to bring a bill that says we will not kill a live-born human being.
You have
to bring a bill to outline that? That's insanity.
They're also talking about a wealth tax of 70% or more. You have socialists now openly going against the free market. Who's mounting the campaign to do the sales job for the free market?
You know, you and I've spoken about this in the past. It's young people right now are looking up to AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who is an outright socialist. She calls herself a Democrat socialist, but if you're going to propose a 70% wealth tax, and if you're going to propose
end of the free market,
billionaires should be illegal. I mean, is that the most insane thing you've ever heard? So in other words, at what point does it become millionaires should be illegal, or what point does it become everyone should have the same thing? That's quickly communism, socialism. Yes. Right, that's what they're proposing. So but young people, Glenn, I go back to this: young people probably under the age of say 27, they've been voting for 8 years, 7, 8 years, 9 years, have never experienced like a really bad time. They've never experienced the Great Depression. They probably don't recall the Great Recession of 2005, 6, 7. And so they think, well, yeah, go ahead. Let's get free stuff. Free stuff's good. We can afford free stuff. Look at this country. We're the most powerful, wealthiest country on the planet. Mm-hmm. Free stuff is good. They don't know the other side of free stuff when your economy goes into a downturn. I saw 1989 stock market crash, people jumping out of buildings in New York City. Saw it. Know it. I was there for the 2005 crash where people were going, we'll pay you, U.S. government. You don't get interest rate to give them your money. We were saying, I'll pay you, government, to hide my money because I don't think it's going to be worth anything at this rate. It was insane. The world was upside down. Goldman Sachs was about to go bankrupt.
Mm-hmm.
Warren Buffett stepped in and put a $5 billion buffer on Goldman Sachs, saved Goldman Sachs. If Goldman Sachs goes after Lehman went, after Bear Stearns went, after Countrywide, it was company after company falling. Mm-hmm. Goldman goes, I'm telling you, the world financial system would have broken at that moment. I don't know where it would have bounced from. I don't know how deep it would have gone. But they saved Goldman. They saved, you know, hate them if you want. But Warren Buffett saved literally the financial system with a $5 billion lifeline to Goldman Sachs.
You and I have talked about the economy for a very long time. And the economy is in a really weird place. You have cycles, so you're going to have a recession. We should have had a recession during the Obama years, and we just kept, you know, the Fed just kept propping it up. The Fed's not really propping anything up anymore, and we're due for a recession. But worse is the CDO problem. The mortgage systems, the car loans that are out there, the same bad stuff that caused 08 has only been made much, much worse. Are you concerned about?
No, I'm not, because the things we were overextended as an economy, as a country, individually in 2005, 6, and 7, and 8. But there are things in there. You talked about CDO, credit derivative assets. But we put in place things, and again, you and I don't like more government, but these things happen to be smart. We put in place ways that companies like Goldman Sachs of the world, who leveraged the leverage. So in other words, everyone was leveraged by borrowing, right? Mm-hmm. So individuals, companies, we all borrow. So we're at a negative leverage. These outside groups went and said, I'll package these things and sell them at a discount. So now there's leverage upon the leverage. And they did it so many, they daisy chained it so many times that there was literally one, let's say a one finger's worth of asset in there and the whole body's worth of leverage in there. And when the system started to crumble, it all fell apart. We've now put rules into place where that they can't do that anymore. So I think, yes, we are extended, but we're not deriving instruments on credit extensions.
CDO problem was about 60 or 70 trillion, if I remember right. It is now over 160 trillion.
But we can't. You could be a Wall Street player and leverage literally hundreds of millions of dollars of mortgages with no asset behind you.
Right.
Can't do that anymore. Now the banks now need to show that they're not overextended on their balance sheets, which is a good thing.
In 1 minute, you tell me the state of the union today.
Much improved. Long way to go. I don't need a whole minute. Much improved. Long way to go. I think he's gonna. I think barring any sort of major meltdown in the economy, I think you're gonna have five more states of the union under Donald Trump.
State of the Union tonight, hosted by Eric Bolling here in Washington, D.C.
We're going to be in the Trump Hotel after the State of the Union. We're in the hotel bars. Never happened before.
I know.
Gotta watch this.
It's all online. We're taking the paywall down, as Eric said. So Blaze TV. You can go to blazetv.com. You can also watch it on YouTube and also on our Facebook page. Tonight, commercial-free, starts at 7:30 Eastern Time. Thanks, Eric.
Thank you, Glenn.
American Financing Corporation, NMLS 182334, www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Okay, so I happen to disagree with Eric on the economy. I think we're gonna hit some problems, and I think we're gonna be tight again with mortgages. I also think you can never predict the Fed. They could go back to zero. They could go to 10 with the interest rate. I have no idea how to predict those guys. Anyway, you need to lock in your mortgage right now. If you have a variable rate, get it locked in right now. Please call American Financing. If you're looking to buy a new home, now is the time to get a mortgage. All you have to do is go to American Financing. They have salary-based mortgage consultants. They don't work on commission. They work for you, and that's what gives them an A-plus rating with the BBB and over 2,500 Google reviews. Just go to AmericanFinancing.net and find out all about them. AmericanFinancing.net, or you can call them at 800-906-2440. 800-906-2440, AmericanFinancing.net. 10 seconds, station ID. See you tonight. Welcome to the program. I'm in the top of the hour. I was just making some notes on the State of the Union and things I wanted to talk to Eric Bolling about. And you know, if I had to give the State of the Union, really truly, forget about politics, give the State of the Union, I would say that in my lifetime, possibly, we are looking at 2001 and possibly 2008 and maybe 1969. The State of the Union, I think, is in one of the weakest positions we have ever been in. And it's strange because it seems diametrically opposed to itself in some ways. We are creating jobs. Things are getting better. People are getting an actual pay increase. I mean, with CPI, with the consumer products inflation or index, we are, for the first time, that is outpacing the pay raise is outpacing the CPI. So you're actually feeling like you're making more money. Many Americans, not all, but at the same time, I disagree with Eric on our financial situation because I think the whole world is about to come undone. We have China, who I believe is preparing for war. We have Russia, who is at war with us. It's just a war of digits, of ones and zeros right now. Our allied powers are a mess, and that's just because the Western world is a mess right now. Who are the allied powers that could stand up against a Russia, China, and, Iran, Turkey kind of coalition? Our unity is a joke. It's more divided than ever. And both sides blame the other side. And both sides refuse to look at their own contribution because the other side won't look at their contribution. Who's willing to say, you know what? I contributed to this and I want it to stop. Who will join me? I don't see those people in politics. I don't see those people in the media. Okay, here's what I did. Now, I don't need your confession, but I do need you to recognize that you were part of it on the other side. Do you want it now to stop? Let's just make it stop. Nobody's interested in that. Everybody wants to win. And because of that, we're all going to lose. Where are the people who, you know, there's nothing better than somebody who, you know, people get it. When they were on the forefront, when they were there. And it's more popular today to divide people than it was when I was, quote, dividing people in 2008. It's much more popular now. I could make a lot more money now than I did then. You have credibility if you stand up now and say, wow, we got to stop. We got to stop. Because there's nobody rewarding that. Who are those people? I think those people exist in the heartland of America. I think there are Republicans and Democrats who are sick of this, who are sick of the people in Washington on both sides of the aisle. If I were the president, they're sick of looking at my face, and they're sick of looking at the face sitting behind me right now. Because to them, both of us, to one side or the other, represent gridlock, doing nothing, anger, division. I'm saying right now, stop. Let's all stop. I'll take my blame, you take your blame, and take the beam out of your own eye. That's fine. Now let's do something positive together.
It's true, too. I mean, you know, there are areas to work together, and they don't do it very often. One of the areas that, used to be very common ground was the fight against illegal immigration. If you go back and look at the American sort of viewpoint on illegal immigration, it was against illegal immigrants most in the mid-90s. Why? Because the Democrats were also against illegal immigration, at least publicly, in the 90s. They came out and said it was a big problem. They've changed
They
on
were.
That
they believed that. They believed that. Well, I don't know.
Well, they had the unions.
They knew that they knew that the unions were their biggest supporters, and the unions were against that. And so that's why they stood against it. That's the only reason. Mm-hmm. And, you know, both sides play those games with special interests. I just want somebody to actually say what they mean and mean what they say.
To Glenn Beck.
All right. Tonight you're going to hear about the government shutdown, and you're really going to hear it from the media, because the Democrats have invited all these people who have, you know, they didn't get paid for 35 days. Okay, whatever. Here's one thing you should be concerned about on the shutdown. Apparently, we didn't put some of our IT people on the really don't miss a day of work list. And so now some of the government servers, we're afraid, have been breached. A data breach can be used to commit identity theft, and LifeLock will protect you because somebody's identity is stolen every 2 seconds. LifeLock, they look through a wide range of identity threats and look for your identity on sale on the dark web. Sign up now, 10% off your first year. Use promo code Beck, 1-800-LifeLock or LifeLock.com. LifeLock.com, promo code Beck.
Also sign up for Blaze TV, blazetv.com/Beck. You can get the State of the Union coverage on YouTube, Facebook, or right on Blaze TV. Do it now. The promo code is Beck.
In the Constitution, it says, from time to time, the president shall address Congress, and it could be in letter form or any way he finds suitable, and make them aware of the state of the union. So if I were going to be the president of the United States, and I seriously had to think about this, I would start with, what are our duties as government? What are the things we can affect? What is the state of our union? And I would start by explaining that we have a constitution that we've all signed an oath to. That's the only reason why we're here, is to protect and defend the Constitution. And that is something that we established to create a more perfect union, not a perfect union. We're never going to get this right. But are we moving in the right direction? And the Constitution gave us certain things. So let's go through the State of the Union. We're supposed to establish justice. Have we done that? Is it justice? Is it equal justice? Because now there is social justice. And perhaps social justice should be left to the churches, and equal justice is the job of the state. We are to promote domestic tranquility. America has never been more anxious, and we're anxious because of Washington, D.C. Provide for the common defense. We got a great military, best in the world. However, that's not the only defense we're worried about. What about providing for the common defense on our borders? What about the common defense with China and AI and the 5G network and how they are infiltrating our country and our companies, and they are stealing us blind? What about Russia? Lots of investigations going on about Russia, but they all revolve around me. Go ahead, investigate all you want. But has anybody looked, what is Russia really doing? Whether I'm the president or the next person is the president, we are under attack. Are we providing for the common defense? Promote the general welfare. So are we promoting those things? Are we saying only we can do those things? How have we promoted the general welfare? And secure the blessings of liberty for us and our posterity. Boy, I could spend some time on abortion on that one. But I'd also like to say, we now have members of Congress that do not believe in the free market system. How are we promoting and securing the blessings of liberty when we have people that want to change our system of government into a system that is known for its oppression of people? I'd say the State of the Union is tenuous tonight. That's how I'd start. John Miller, who is our White House correspondent, does his own show on the Blaze TV and gives you a roundup and a look at what's really happening in Washington. Hello, John. How are you?
Good. How you doing, Glenn?
Good. I don't think the president's going to say any of those things tonight.
No, I think you're right about that. I think what he'll likely do is talk about the state of the economy, which is obviously still on fire. You were just talking about that in the last segment. But it's interesting because the state of the economy is great, but it should feel like the roaring 20s, or it should even feel like the 80s in terms of the national spirit. It absolutely does not.
No.
And I think that is because we are so divided.
And we're tenuous. We're tenuous. We're not sure this is going to last because of spending is completely out of control in our own homes and also nationally. It's out of control. And you have this fight about taxes going up to 70%.
Yep.
I mean, and you don't know which direction we're going.
And it's interesting because the president is calling for unity tonight. And it's a matter of how do you unite with people who believe what the modern left believes in? I mean, how do you unite with people who believe that life doesn't start, not at conception or even the third trimester, but when the baby's in the car on the way home and the mother's mental health is considered fit? I mean, how do you compromise with people who are literally saying to you, we're going to keep the government shut down unless you do what we want? Or people who bring as their guest to the State of the Union the person, the agitator who stopped Flake in the hallway. Mm-hmm. Or the people, the illegal immigrants, or the mm-hmm. DACA recipients. So, you know, the president obviously does his own dividing on Twitter. Occasionally he, you know, has to do the political fisticuffs. But when he's calling for unity and the Democrats are saying, we don't really want to unite with you, we want to shove it in your face, I don't know how you heal that divide. It's that you said promote domestic tranquility. I don't know how you do that with people who are doing just that.
Give me a grade of the constitutional responsibilities of this government. First, to provide equal justice.
I would say C.
Why?
I would say C because you have, I mean, you look at what happened to Kavanaugh. I mean, the justice system, I mean, forget the actual justice, the fact that the courts are out of control. Forget the fact that the courts have completely taken over what they're supposed to be doing and have outgrown how the Constitution sees them. I mean, the national spirit in terms of how you see people are completely guilty until proven innocent. You saw that with the, mm-hmm. with the Covington kids. You saw mm-hmm. that with Kavanaugh. You see that. It's just a mentality that you don't have to have any evidence. As long as we believe it to be true, believe all women. That's the motto on the left. Unless, of course, that guy is a Democrat, like the lieutenant governor of Virginia, then you don't have to believe him.
So here's the problem with this. The government, I think, has actually gotten better on justice with the justice reform that just mm-hmm. happened. And the justice that you're talking about is really coming, you would say, is coming from us and the media, but it's not. It's actually coming from political organizations.
Sure.
It's not government-imposed right. social justice.
But it is the media. The Washington Post is absolutely helping them.
It is. It is. Okay, so justice. How can they even claim it's part of their job? Promote domestic tranquility.
You know, I don't know. So how does government actually do that? I mean, they can try to promote it, but at the end of the day, it is up to we the people to do that. And that's why, I mean, the preamble starts with we the people of the United right. States to promote it.
Right. But they established the Constitution sure. for the government to do these things in order to create a more perfect union. So you notice it says promote domestic tranquility. That just means, to me, pet the cat. Don't do anything that is disrupting. If everybody wants to be disrupted, then you just have to be a leader and step in and go, we're going to make it. It's going to be okay. I know everybody's arguing with each other right now, but that's not right. what they're doing.
And I would give probably an F to everyone on that. I mean, everyone plays their role yep. from government down to the media, down to, you know, people on Twitter and Facebook.
Yep.
Everyone fails on that.
Yep. Provide for the common defense.
Think pretty good, except the board is a disaster. And that, you know, that's the primary function. You know, many would say that's the main function of a military, is to protect the borders here at home instead of, you know, thousands and thousands of miles away. So I think we're doing a good job
thousands of miles away.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Staving off those threats. But right. The ones that are closest to us, we're not doing anything.
And the ones that are coming in new forms, AI, the 5G network, Russia, with their ones and zeros, that we're in war with Russia right now. They are attacking us. Anyone who is in the information, you know, Facebook, Google, what are they doing to provide for the common defense against companies like that?
Right, they're doing nothing because it helps their business model.
Exactly right. So what'd you give them?
I would give a C again, because some people, in some areas it's good. I mean, we feel safe.
So I would go, I would say internationally, A.
Right.
Domestically, F.
I agree, and that kind of comes down to a C.
Yeah. General welfare. Promote the general welfare.
I think I would say, again, maybe a D, to be honest.
Why? What's that mean to you?
I don't know exactly what it means. I think that, I mean, the domestic tranquility and general welfare kind of seem the same.
I would agree.
But I think that the state of the spirit of our nation, I feel right now, is not in good shape.
Yeah.
And I think that that falls into the category of general welfare.
And securing the blessings of liberty.
I would say F.
I would too.
I would say F.
I mean, this government is a failure. This government is an absolute failure if you grade it on the things the Constitution right. says they must do.
Well, like you said, in terms of life, I mean, securing the blessings of liberty, if you're not going to stand for life.
Yeah. And our posterity. Yes, that's what it says. Right. Us and our posterity.
Yep. And I mean, the spending is out of control. That's for posterity. And then also, I mean, just in terms of the business is good. I mean, Trump has repealed a lot of regulations, which is good for business, but liberty is more than just business liberty. And so I think that the notion of freedom, it's not something anyone talks about anymore. I mean, when is the last time you heard a politician really talk about the importance of individual liberty and freedom?
Outside of a, we're fighting for women's rights or...
Right.
Other than, you know, bogus speeches, almost never.
Yeah, it's not important
almost
anymore.
Never. And you're seeing it in the polling of millennials. Freedom of speech, they don't believe that. They don't believe that anymore. They don't believe in freedom of speech. They're trying to now put a 50% tax on bullets. They don't believe in the Second Amendment. You know, the only one that I think we could all agree on is the Third Amendment. You know, the king can't quarter soldiers.
Right, that's the most important amendment.
So right. It is. But you know what? I think we're actually violating that, because I think with the NSA, they're doing the same thing the king was trying to do by quartering soldiers. Their soldiers are just digital.
Right. Right.
Just
no, I think that's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. John, you're going to be part of the broadcast.
Yeah,
tonight.
We're going to be broadcasting. I think we're going to be in Emancipation Hall as well. So.
Oh, wow. Okay, so we'll see you tonight on the broadcast hosted by Eric Bolling, and that is happening on the Blaze TV tonight. Starts at 7:30, and it's commercial-free. You can find it on YouTube, also on our Facebook page, and blazetv.com. Back in a minute. All righty, Valentine's Day, it's coming up, and no matter what she says, and she says, oh, you don't have to give me anything, it's a trap! Don't. You're going to have to get her something. So get her roses. 1-800-Flowers.com. It's not that complicated. It's really a no-brainer. You call or go to 1-800-Flowers.com. They make it easy and economical. Right now, if you order right now, and I believe this ends today or tomorrow, you can get the Enchanted Rose Medley, 18 stems for $29.99. You can double that to 36 stems for an extra $20. It's 1-800-Flowers.com, 1-800-Flowers.com. This offer does expire tomorrow, so you need to do it today. Roses from 1-800-Flowers, picked at their peak and shipped overnight. And when it comes to Valentine's Day, Don't settle for anything else but the Rose Authority. It's 1-800-Flowers.com. You enter the radio icon. Just click on the radio icon and enter the radio code BECK, B-E-C-K. You'll be able to get this special of the 18-stem enchanted roses for $29.99 or double the roses for $20 more. It is 1-800-Flowers.com, 1-800-Flowers.com, promo code BECK. Do you remember when we were told, just get over, Obama? Just get over it. Just get over it. What's wrong with you people? Just get over it. And they couldn't understand how we were feeling. When Trump was elected, they had to have counselors in the classrooms for that week because the kids couldn't get over it. And I was really tempted to say, get over it. But I didn't, because I had been there. I understood what it felt like. Now, the psychiatrists of America have united to define, there's 56% of Americans say they are extremely anxious or very anxious about the impact of politics on our daily life. And so they have dubbed this now Trump anxiety disorder. So it's only Donald Trump's fault. You're only anxious, 53% of Americans, but they're only anxious because of Donald Trump. Really? But it's interesting to me how the medical community has gathered together to help people, because they understand how you can have anxiety with Donald Trump, but they couldn't understand how you would have anxiety with Barack Obama. We are so split. And unfortunately, there's a disturbing study out that shows we are actually getting closer on one thing, and that I think is socialism, taxing the rich. Now, 54% of Americans, Republicans, say taxing the rich, they need to pay more of their fair share.
Yeah, it's one of those things. I mean, they're saying 76% of registered voters believe the wealthiest Americans should pay more in taxes now. And you know, it's an easy one because you're targeting a very small group of people, and those group of people, they're obviously well off and they can handle it. They don't need their mm-hmm. money. It's mm-hmm. you know, whether it's morally correct doesn't even seem to be a question anymore. It's interesting though, when you ask people about the actual percentages, I think most mm-hmm. people believe the rich pay nothing. So they believe, oh, they're paying 5%. They're getting out of everything. They're not paying anything. Yeah. And so when you ask them the actual numbers, should they pay more than 20% of their income or 30% of their income? People are opposed to that. They just don't know they don't have any idea what rich people are actually paying in taxes.
Yes.
So this is a very convenient way to ask this question.
And it's really interesting to me. It's such a socialist way to answer to ask the question, to say the rich. Shouldn't it be, should anyone have to pay more than 20% of their salary to taxes? Yes or no?
Yeah, ask 30%, 10%, 20%, 40%. 30%. Yeah, I mean,
you go the whole time.
Yeah,
it's people. It is Marx that groups us. It is Washington and Jefferson and Franklin that separate and say, no, we are not group makers. What we are is Americans, mm-hmm. and we're all in this together. Now, what's fair for one is fair for all of us.
I mean, God only asks for 10%. God asks
and
for
I
10.
Am,
I know what they're doing.
I am very aware of what God has done for me today. What the hell has this government done for me that is three times greater than what God did for me today?